Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today, we're discussing the topic of more than walls and windows. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the host of the Changemakers podcast, the fabulous Katie Gore, the president of Quadel Consulting and Training. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited about this. I mentioned before we got on the air that we've done several episodes about affordable housing and so forth, and I know that's something that's near and dear to you, and I want to kind of jump into that, but let's talk a little bit about your personal story. It's something that's very inspiring in my mind, so tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
Well, it's a little bit interesting, but it's something that I really have not shared. I've been working in affordable housing for about 30 years, and different roles from a housing authority to community development to now consulting and training work. And I worked alongside people who had no idea this was my personal story. It was not one that I shared. And just in the last several months, I have really been taken to task to realize my personal story is more than just, you know, how my early life started, but it has really shaped how I lead. So that's kind of like the footnote here. But when I was about 12 years old, through a divorce situation, my mom became a single mom, and there were four of us kids, and she, quite frankly, was not able to afford rent. And we tried the best we could to make do, and we ended up homeless, living in a tent. And it was many, many months. In fact, it even started to snow. We were there for so long. And it was a situation that clearly I didn't choose as a child, but here we were. And it was very traumatic. And I think that people, I mean, there's like this whole, like, you know, why are people homeless? And I'm not sure it really matters why people are homeless, but, you know, the fact that we were homeless, like the logistics of how we got there necessarily didn't really matter. But there we were, living in a tent and having to cook our food outside. And we stored our clothes in a Rubbermaid tub and either slept on a sleeping bag or slept on the floor. And then we would roll into school acting like nothing was happening and really being afraid to even talk about it because we were afraid the school would take action and, you know, report us and we would all get separated. So that was my first inroad to housing instability, kind of raw and right there in the moment.
You know, in affordable housing, I've spoken to many people, and there is this connotation of shame that goes along with those circumstances or certain circumstances that people find themselves into. And I think you refer to it as your necklace of shame. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting because I said I hadn't talked about this, and then I went and delivered a TEDx talk in New York City a couple of months ago. And so I went from like not telling anybody because I was so embarrassed to, oh, hey, I'm going to stand up on the TED stage here and talk about it. And as I was preparing for that speech, it did come to me that I had voluntarily kept wearing a necklace of shame because I wasn't talking about it. And I realized that shameful past was something that I was so embarrassed about. I didn't want professionals to know. I felt like it would not make me as valid as a leader, or it would be a stigma to who I was. But I realized, I said, okay, hold on here. I was wearing a voluntary necklace of shame, but I needed to change the script. I needed to realize that experience and that shame had actually been fueling me to personally and professionally do better in, you know, as an individual, as a mom, as a housing practitioner, and now as a CEO. But that necklace of shame I had like kept hidden for so long, and I didn't want to talk about the ugly parts of my early life. And I failed to realize that that was actually like amplifying who I was. And, you know, it really came down to a moment when I said, I'm never going to live like this again. I'm never going to be in a position like this again. And I was able to use it for fuel, but I had to confront that shameful moment.
Unbelievable story. And I'm so happy to have heard exactly how you dealt with it and what you've been able to do to help it propel you to where you are now. But I know in your career, you've seen that shame in people who are in similar circumstances in with housing issues. And how does that show up if someone is working on a property and they see a resident?
I think it's often confronted with a lot of different emotions. I mean, obviously there's an invisible weight when you don't have housing, or when you've been used to going from, you know, one crappy rental to another crappy rental, and all of a sudden you find an apartment that's in a good school district that has covered parking, that, mm-hmm. you know, has something that is like, aha, this is a step up moment. And so there's this invisible weight and urgency and desperation, but it's coming across as possibly not putting them in the best light, because all of us, we're not our best selves when we are insecure and when we're not stable. I think as housing practitioners, you know, we're sitting on the other side of the desk. You know, we're worried about leasing. We're worried about compliance. We're worried about curb appeal. And we're not pausing and saying, wait a minute, I really, really understand what this person's going through. So when they walk in and they want something, you know, they want an answer. They want a result. They want a key. You know, that urgency can often be driven by that weight that they're carrying. And because we as practitioners are like, let's get the job done, let's get the business done, we're not like pausing for a moment and saying, I understand the context of this person's life from this micro moment, and then handling that interaction as if we truly understood.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. Let's talk about pivoting from the stable. I mean, stable housing isn't just about the roof. It's about much more than that to the person in that circumstance. What are some of those things?
I love this part, because I think this is where the transformation can happen. And we all know what a property looks like when it's in disrepair, and then mm-hmm. once it's been renovated and you've made the investment. But sometimes we forget that about the person. When the investment of housing happens and they can be transformed, they can now pay attention to safety, generational healing. They can do educational pursuits. They can be more concerned about their own personal health. And that's the transformation that can happen in this pivotal moment, just by helping with stable housing. And I think this is the piece that, you know, we all want to get to, but we forget about how important that moment can be for a person.
With about a minute left in the segment, do you have any specific story that just comes to mind regarding someone who made that pivot, and other than yourself, obviously, and were able to get from that emotional, get that emotional stability as well once they got some stable housing?
We just helped a lady who was living in her car with two children, and it was out in Oregon. We were working with a client of ours, and she had moved into the county, and she moved into a brand new apartment. And for the first time, she could actually keep her kids in a better school. And I think I always point to kids in school because, you know, that seems to be something that we're feeding into that next healing moment. And she just broke down crying when the property manager gave her the keys. It was weight of relief and that hope that those keys represented for her.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the unspoken cost of instability in our next segment, and we will be right back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
And you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of more than walls and windows. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the host of the Change Makers podcast, the amazing Katie Gore, the president of Quadel Consulting and Training. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Katie, in the end of this last segment we just completed, I said we're going to talk a little bit in this segment about the unspoken cost of instability. And these are things that I don't think people who don't find themselves in this situation really consider, but they're real and they're tangible and they're important. Can you kind of expand on that?
There's a variety of studies that are out there, and I think everybody likes to point to them, and I could throw a bunch of statistics at you, but I think the easiest way is to just talk about like the categories of the costs of instability, and that ranges from everything to a person's mental health, to education gaps, to generational poverty, which we're all still learning about how that happens, and even those personal identifying moments of shame, I think that we talked about and we covered in the first section. But, you know, when a person has such a identity that's associated with instability, it's really hard to say, I'm going to move forward with attainment, because you're struggling to survive. And I think, you know, when we're talking about a person's life, when you're saying, how do I get through today? How do I get through tomorrow? It's really hard to plan to say, where do I want to be in 4 years? You know, where do I want my children to be in 4 years? And I think that those kinds of shifts are monumental when your day is about surviving. So it's an unspoken cost of instability, like we mentioned here, but it has its tentacles in so many different areas of how people function and then how they interact with all of those systems that are trying to support them.
Can you give some examples of how, I guess, stable housing creates stability for these residents? What are some of the things that happen?
So one real practical thing, when we went from the tent and we went from living outside, I mean, you know, it was a whole traumatic moment. But when we moved into our first apartment, it was a chance for us to actually have a place where we could store food. It was a place where we can hang our backpack. It was a place where we could sleep and have a full night's sleep at night. And the, you know, food, consistency, education, and basic sleep cycles, all of that, actually, like, it helped us be better for the next day. It helped us show up to school better. It helped us do some of real basic things with how we function individually and then how we function as a family. And I think when people can move into an apartment that has amenities, that has some sense of stability, then they're able to translate that into their life with consistent food. You know, ours was really, really basic. Like, the raccoons were not going to come into our tent and steal our food anymore. true story. But, you know, that actually sends signals of, like, hoarding food. And so, like, there are pieces of this. But then when you get into an apartment and you're like, I actually have a pantry. Our food is safe. See, that transition of what happens mentally by just moving into an apartment that is clean and safe and stable. And I mean, you know, I use the food example and the raccoon example, but this actually can go into the person's psyche, their mental health, you know, how you show up for a dentist, how you show up for school. And this all comes by having that stable, safe apartment.
We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to kind of expand on that just a little bit about, do you feel like living in a stable situation in an apartment property creates that sense of community that might be missing in their lives, as well as give them the ability to, for the kids' sake, to make friends in the community and so forth? And how important is that?
I think it has the potential to. In our case, it was pretty extreme going from the tent to an apartment. And then we moved into some Section 8 housing for a while. And then we went into some substandard housing. And I think our continuum is not unusual. I think some people do move through those continuums. But I think when you've gotten a privately owned, managed, or a, you know, quasi-private, right, nonprofit, I won't kind of get into all those nuances. But I mean, when you've got some accountability here in what the apartment can look like, what it can function like, and what kind of community it can provide, yes, it does have the potential to say, okay, kids can play at the playground. Neighbors can talk about employment opportunities. Who's hiring? Where are the, you know, who's got a job opening somewhere? And you can kind of start that sense of community and rebuilding with stable moments. You know, we all can point to when, you know, things aren't working and when it doesn't work in a community. But I fundamentally believe the apartment communities they do have the potential to create those moments of stability. And that's when we say it's more than walls and windows that apartments can offer.
Multifamily owners and operators can certainly be a solution for this. Talk a little bit about what you think are some of the things that could make things better in this sense.
Well, I know lots of people like to talk about curb appeal, and it seems very trivial when there's larger societal issues, but curb appeal to me, you know, and I come from I've got a compliance hat now on here, mm-hmm. but when you roll up to the property and you see the property and you see the curb appeal, right there, you're starting to signal how you view the people who are living in your apartment, how you're viewing the people as an asset and the property as an asset. So to me, I'm thinking, when as a compliance person and I see this property and I'm like, okay, this curb appeal or lack thereof are giving off signals as to how they view people as an individual, as their customers or their assets, however you want to say it, and how they're looking at the capital asset. So to me, I'm like, I am a big one on curb appeal because it's just signaling so much. It's more than just, did I get the guys out here to cut the grass on time or not? It's signaling so many things about how you're valuing what you are doing. So I would say first is the curb appeal part. And I could keep on going, but I'll stick to a quick one, curb appeal.
So we've got about 2 minutes left in the segment. So there's a challenge out there, I guess, to people in the industry. Are we creating units? Or are we creating platforms for people's future? What do you say about that?
So this is a great school of thought, and I love to debate this because a lot of practitioners want to say, we're about the bricks and the sticks, we're about what the walls are like, but not what's going on within the walls. And then you have another school of thought who says, hold on, my property is better if I can make sure what's going on within the walls are positioned for success. And so there's really a real clear divide here on these two schools of thought. And I think fundamentally, you do want to improve the person because that person can then improve the neighbor, who can then improve the apartment, who can then improve the community. So I, having my own personal background, fall in the school of thought that says, yes, we do want to improve a holistic approach. You know, we want that holistic approach for that person and the apartment combined together, not just, you know, the drywall and the, you know, what's going on in the structure itself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that a lot of people in the industry adhere to that school of thought or that side of the debate?
I think it's still about it. I think it's 80-20 sometimes. Mm. It's starting to change. I think more people are realizing the investment into the person is also as crucial as the investment into the asset.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers, Water, and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's PLUMMER.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegiant's access control product offerings, please visit usallegiant.com/MFM.
Hi, this is Remy Marks, the Chief Connection Officer of Multifamily Now 24/7 Internet Radio, the first and only radio station created exclusively for the multifamily industry. It's where professionals come together for nonstop insights, stories, and conversations that move our industry forward. And now you can take that pride beyond the airwaves with the Multifamily Now store. From t-shirts and gear with the inside jokes only multifamily property pros understand, to the apparel that celebrates the people who keep communities thriving, this is where property management meets personality. Visit multifamilynow.com to tune in and to shop the store. Multifamily Now, the voice and the style of our industry.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegiant representative.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of more than walls and windows. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the host of the Changemakers podcast, the fantastic Katie Gore, the president of Quadell Consulting and Training. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the United States. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with custom utility allowance models. Zintra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zintra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud prevention and underwriting solution for multifamily trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Katie, I'm excited about this segment because I know this is where you're going to share with our listeners and our audience some of your lessons for the multifamily industry as it's regard to this topic. So let's start out with policy. What do you feel about that?
Well, the policy that properties can adopt, I think, really comes down to whether they're going to approach interactions with residents or potential residents with what I like to say is a stability mindset or a transaction mindset. And I have some examples of this. And again, it's like you always point to like when things go wrong, but lots of examples of people showing up to properties, you know, a leasing schedule that says they're open. They come to see a unit and the office is not open. The units are not available. The open house is not what is posted. There's no, you know, you've signed up online to say, hey, I want to come and see a unit, and then you can't do it. You don't have the system or the staff. There's something broken there. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is showing that you may have had a transaction mindset, but your transaction is broken and you failed fundamentally to understand a stability mindset. Meaning, if that person needs housing, wherever they are in the continuum, homelessness or in a bad rental or in an overpriced rental, wherever they are, for whatever reason, when they show up and need that affordable unit, they need to look, they need to visit that. That friction that has just been created by that non-functioning system, that friction is furthering instability in their mind. And I think that is a big challenge that we often talk about in our industry, but it's really something that we need to call ourselves to task to say, I need to look at my frameworks. I need to look at my process, and I need to say, am I treating everything as a transaction, and is it broken, or am I saying, I want to meet that person and help create a moment of stability and choices for them. And it's just, it's a huge paradigm shift to look at those two ways you approach. And I use the leasing one as an example, but it can be applied to inspections, work orders. It could be applied to so many different, you know, intake, how you answer the phone. Like, it could be applied to so many different functions in how we do business.
You know, one of the other things, as far as one of your lessons, what we talked about earlier about the shame, how and what does it look like when that shame creeps into operations?
That's a good question, because this is, you know, we're starting to talk about, you know, how does that look when we talk about eviction policies? How does that look when we talk about tenant communication? And when you're a person who is confronted with housing instability, or again, I've said, when, you know, you're not always your best self when you're in those moments of survival. And so you're not always paying attention in the right categories. And I think that shame can creep up to say, you know, I am showing up to work. I'm trying to get my kids to school. And yes, I missed my recertification appointment. So, you know, we as practitioners, if we're in a transaction mindset, we're like, well, you only get one rescheduled appointment. Or are we saying, hold on, I realize what's happening here. Can we do it virtual? Can you upload it to a portal? Can you, and you're offering a variety of ways that isn't going to disrupt their stability, because at the core, you know, they don't want to be faced with instability again, right? They don't want to have to miss the appointment, but yet, are we being able to offer ways by which they can keep the stability, that shame and that instability from creeping up? And, you know, I mentioned eviction, and that's a very, very tricky one. So I'm not even sure if I want to open up that that can of worms right yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that that I see out there, there's this, the mindset of operations and the stability mindset over the transaction mindset, mindset. What do you feel is important about that as far as one of your lessons?
Well, I think that, you know, it costs properties money to keep turning over units. You know, there's a lot of cost to turn the units, to get people back into the unit. And we put a lot of energy there, but we don't put as much energy. I mean, retention is very difficult. And sometimes I think if properties were tracking why the turnover was happening, if they were really, really getting granular to say, why is turnover happening? You know, what is going on with evictions? What is going on with choice? Why people are choosing to move out? And if you really looked at retention with analytical lenses and tried to identify if there's any trending there, it's a lot cheaper to keep good tenants in place. And I say good tenants. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I'm not advocating for people who are, you know, tearing up the unit or anything like that with retention, but it's a lot cheaper to keep good tenants in place than to try to pay the cost of turning the unit. So I think, you know, that's part of all that stability mindset versus transaction mindset as well.
We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Talk a little bit about how this could be a win for everybody.
Well, I think, I mean, that's a good question because it's about business. Right? Properties need to be able to make this business model work. Investors, property owners, they need to be able to make this business work. You know, you're not going to go in and take the risk of all of the things that come with property management and ownership, fires or, you know, all of those extreme things. You're not going to go in and take that risk unless it's good business, unless it makes sense. So it does need to be a business, but I think what makes it work is if you could really say, we want to contribute to a great property where it is almost creating the next launch for good residents. So you're saying, okay, I'm not ready for home ownership, but guess what? I could stay in this property on affordable terms or tax credit or income tiering, however the rules are saying, and I can work toward now, I can work for savings and I can move to home ownership. Or I could say, wait a minute, I want to be able to live in this property because it's close to the school that I'm going to, because not everybody wants to go into home ownership. But, you know, you've got to make it work on the business side here, but there's also real great benefit to be able to have good residents who are using apartments, subsidized housing, as a launch pad for them in attaining their larger goals. And I do know a lot of people who have moved through affordable housing, who have gone on to be people who are now giving back to their community. You know, they're leading nonprofits, they're leading housing agencies, they're becoming developers of properties. I mean, there are a lot of people who have lived in affordable housing who have used that as a launch pad to go on to other accolades in their lives.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of more than walls and windows. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the host of the Changemakers podcast, the awesome Katie Gore, the president of Quadell Consulting and Training. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Katie, let's kind of get back to your personal story. And we're going to talk in this segment before we transition to something else I want to discuss. We're going to talk a little bit about hope, change, and action, and talk a little bit about what stability has given to you and your family.
Well, it's been obviously a journey here to just talk about it openly, like I mentioned earlier. But quite frankly, the cycle of instability, it ended with me. You know, I was able to get through that experience and say that I was never going to live like that again. And we were able to move into an apartment and moved into affordable housing and move forward. And, you know, that was not an experience or a life experience that I then passed on to my kids, because that cycle of instability really did end with me. And not just, you know, I was the oldest of four kids, but my brother and my two sisters, they also were able to do the same. So, you know, that moment of housing stability for us really changed our lives. And, you know, I share this in the TED Talk, but, you know, my brother went on to be a doctor. And, you know, that was one of the things that when we were going through all of this, we didn't have access to healthcare. And I have another sister who went on to be a mental health counselor. And, you know, like, we each took away from that moment what happened to us. And we were able to say, okay, hold on, we're changing our lives. And then we're going to go out and feed into other people's lives. And I think that's the piece of this housing instability. That's the power when you can become stable in housing. Then you can try to heal and then move on and help others. And I don't want it to sound Pollyanna-ish, but I mean, housing stability really is that crucial.
And housing is not just an industry, is it?
No, I mean, it's not just about the transaction. It's not just about the bottom line. It's not just about the margin. I mean, clearly it is a group of people in a community, and it is a group of people who are needing housing. And again, you know, I said it didn't matter kind of like why we were in the tent necessarily. It was like the reality is we were there and we needed housing. And, you know, whatever, if people are saying, why do I need affordable housing? Well, the reality is you need affordable housing, and it can just, it can add to that human component. And I kind of like to think about it as like the launch pad, you know, when the rockets at NASA, like, they're not just taking off from some abstract point. They have this like really scientific launch pad that's going to help boost them to where they need to go. And if I could like make a corny analogy, housing can be that launch pad for a person. And it's really a industry that's surrounded by people.
And when you're thinking about people in the industry who work in the industry, I love this comment that you made, that you're not just managing properties, you're managing potential. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one, I think, this is something that is hard for practitioners, and it's hard for people who are looking at, you know, leasing numbers. They're trying to hit turn unit days. You're trying to complete work orders. You're trying to do all of the things, because by default, and we're trying to do this in a very highly regulated world. And so by default, we are focusing on the mechanism of housing, and we do often forget about the fact that we are managing more than properties, that we are managing the potential of the people who are living in affordable housing. And that doesn't mean you need to be a workforce development shop, okay? But you can be part of that continuum to help them get to the better job, the better school, or whatever those attainments are. And I talk a lot about families and children, but you know, I would be remiss if I didn't also mention, you know, affordable housing is also really filling the gap for a lot of seniors and for a lot of veterans and for a lot of people with disabilities. So my references have been about families and children. I sometimes default to that, being a mother of five myself, but you know, I do want to make sure that, you know, we all are remembering that affordable housing is much, much bigger than you know, the one person or the family too.
We've got about 3 minutes left before I want to transition to something with you, but talk a little bit about what can owners and operators do immediately, the small changes they can make that can help.
I love this question because this is like, okay, let's action time. Let's go here. So I think that the biggest thing that multifamily leaders can do is to say, make sure that you have scripts for your property staff on how to talk to tenants, and specifically how to talk to tenants who are in crisis. And I think that is one of the biggest things. You know, everybody says, oh, lead with empathy. Okay, well, what does that mean? Because sometimes it doesn't come natural for everybody. And so there is a way by which multifamily leaders can say, hey, we have these scripts. We know how to talk to tenants when they are in crisis. And we practice that. You know, we practice, we go through exercises. We know how to respond. Because you don't need to know how to just respond to the leaking sink that's dripping through from the second floor to the first floor. You also need to know how to respond to crisis on a human level. Another real easy practical thing that owners and management agents can do is have a list of your community resources, because sometimes we make assumptions that people know where the resources are. But I would go one step further and say, make sure your property managers have an actual list of all the resources in the area. And it's a list that you can provide without stigma and without judgment, right? And another thing is, I would make sure that you train your teams not just on the regulation, not just on the checkbox, but I think it is urgent to train your team to understand the potential of the person that you're serving, and not just that we work in affordable housing. Like, they need to be connected to what the possibilities are for the people who are moving in, for the people who are living there. And that's, I mean, there are a lot of success stories about people who have lived in affordable housing who have gone on to do great things. So it's not real hard to find those.
Well, we've got, I want to transition in just a moment, but I wanted to give you just kind of a wrap everything up. Talk a little bit for about 30 seconds or so on how what you call your necklace of shame has become your strongest asset.
Well, I used to think this was something that I just needed to tuck down inside, and I've now realized that it actually has prepared me for crisis management. It has prepared me to be able to talk about customer service with my team, and it has prepared me to really be an advocate for affordable housing. And so instead of kind of wearing that necklace of shame around, I've been able to say, hold on, this has given me a perspective by which I can talk to. And, you know, that's why I'm here talking with you too, Paul.
Okay. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. I want to transition us out of the topic because I wanted you to give our listeners kind of a rundown of about Quadel and how you work within the industry and anything that you're looking for that our audience should know about, as well as how they can reach out to you or to your company if they would like to learn more.
Sure. Thank you for that. Well, Quadel's been around for about 50 years, and I've been with Quadel for 18, and I have had an honor of being in this industry because we have been working for property owners and agents. We have about 80,000 units that we do contract administration on that are both multifamily and housing choice voucher and tax credit. So we are the compliance people. We do trainings, we do recertifications, we do initial compliance reviews, and everything, you know, from a management and occupancy review to quality reviews. If, you know, somebody's going in to do a rehab or an acquisition rehab. So we've got a full range of things that we do. But I think one of the things if I was going to say is that we are also connected in this industry. So the best way to get a hold of us is through LinkedIn. That seems to be the easiest platform to see what we're about and see what we're doing and stay connected with us.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. We'd love to have you back on again. This is a great topic and certainly something that we need to be discussing a lot more in our industry. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.